true.
Summit County Justice Files.
Welcome to the Summit County Justice Files, your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform, educate, and engage with our community.
Yes, now, before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and the lessons learned. And yes, more than just a few minutes of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone, unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. So let's get into it. We've got a repeat offender to start things off. Stopped once, but that apparently wasn't enough for this one guy.
Isn't that something? In the same night, you think, ooh, got away with that one. I'm right. Going to go home and
be good the rest of the night.
And count my lucky stars.
But no.
You know, that red and blue light fever you get, that queasiness in your stomach when you see the red and blues in your rearview mirror.
And you're not at the disco.
No, and this guy wanted to feel it twice that night.
Wow. So what happened? First, he didn't stop at a stop sign, blew a stop sign, got pulled over for that one.
Yeah.
And then going a little too fast later on?
Yeah. In fact, the first time he got a ticket,
yeah,
you think he would have learned. And a short time later, another deputy tried to stop him when he was doing 80 in a 50. So...
Yeah, you tend to get noticed when you go really fast like that where you're not supposed to.
This time, unlike the first time, and we say the first time, like just previously in the evening, he decided he was going to hit the gas and just take off. And he did. Deputies found the car abandoned, guy gone. You know, just like you see on TV in the movies, door open, the guy's gone. But, you know, he left a couple of his cell phones in the car. And left some other evidence of who he is in the car. And, you know, we did an extensive search in the area for this guy and couldn't find him. But the next morning, a local resident reported his bicycle had gotten stolen. And it turns out that and he had video footage of the thief stealing. You know, we talk about this all the time, right? On the radio and on the podcast about everybody. Just assume you're under surveillance at all times.
At all times,
by
anywhere
neighbors,
you are.
By everybody, yep. Big
Somebody's
brother.
Somebody's watching you.
You know, now we have these, you know, flock cameras where they're reading license plate readers. I mean, you are always under surveillance. So anyways, between the video and the way we were able to identify him, we were able to find this guy at his house, wasn't home at the time, left him a little business card. He actually called back and then admitted to both traffic stops. He admitted then to the second one why he ran away. It was by that time he was very intoxicated.
Uh-huh.
And he came to the sheriff's office and he gave the bike back. And then turned himself in and got arrested.
Well, as good of a citizen as he can be at that point, I guess.
You know, we always talk about things that start with drugs or alcohol never end good. Uh-huh. Now, he stole a bike. He ran from the cops, stole a bike, went home, sobered up, and turned himself in.
Charges at all pending?
Oh, yeah. He's okay. For all of it.
Yeah.
Right? All of it.
Next case is about a missing person, and this has captivated the attention of a lot of local people.
Yeah.
About a guy out of Vail left his abandoned vehicle in Officer's Gulch, and still hasn't been found.
No, it still hasn't been found. In fact, we just had another operation here the other day in Officer's Gulch where we didn't want people to get confused because we found a guy that had fallen off a cliff and died. But in this one, this is interesting because, you know, this guy was missing out of an adjoining jurisdiction in Vail, which is in the county next to us. And because his car was found here, you know, we joined in the search to help look for him. And as you just said, we still haven't found him, but We've already put over 500 personnel hours into this. We have flown it with drones. We have flown the whole length from, you know, for miles, like from where the car is, miles in each direction. As you know, Officer's Gulch is near the 10-mile river, so we have flown the riverbanks.
Right off I-70.
We have had cadaver dogs. We have had, search dogs. To no avail. And so, you know, obviously, at this point, we've suspended the search. And what usually ends up happening is somewhere, sometime, someone stumbles across some bones, a person, something. The other shot is, you know, we're just approaching high water season. And if he is in the river and he is stuck under something that we didn't see, there's the chance that with the high water coming up, he'll pop up and float down to the lake and someone will find him in the lake.
So as extensive of a search that you guys did with several agencies around that area, did you find anything else? I mean, totally unrelated, but it's like, oh, look at this.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast and the radio as well as, you know, Officer's Gulch seems to be, I don't know when they were building I-70, if it was an Indian burial ground, and as they're digging I-70, the workers just said, just toss those bones aside. Those are nothing. And we've disturbed some Indian burial ground because weird things happen in this area, in that canyon. And this summer we found a body dump there in the canyon. And when you said, did we find anything else weird? We found more clothes belonging to the body dump.
Oh, really?
Yes. We found more articles that belonged to this other guy.
Wow.
So.
But no new cases at this point.
But no new cases. Okay. As you said, at this point. Stay tuned.
Right. There's a theft reported. A woman had her cosmetic bag taken containing some jewelry.
Yeah, this one was interesting. This was a weird call where a woman called and said that she had driven here to Summit County to look at some real estate with a friend. She had gotten out of her car, left her friend in the car, went to look at a condo, came back out. She said her friend seemed to have like a psychotic break, like a panic, grabbed a jewelry bag out of her car and with a couple tennis bracelets and ran into the woods.
Just ran off into the woods.
That's it. And they're not from Summit, so they're from Eagle County. And she says that my friend doesn't live here. She doesn't. I'm her ride home. I think she ran into the woods. So we looked for her extensively, and were unable to locate her at the time of the call. And the woman whose jewelry was stolen ended up saying, you know, she's a friend of mine. She'll surface. I don't want to press any charges. I don't know what happened, but she literally like freaked out and ran into the woods. And we got lots of woods around here.
Yeah, well, let's hope that she's okay.
Well, yeah, we don't know if she ever turned up because the woman didn't want to pursue it any further and said her friend will surface.
Well, there's nothing else you can do at that
point. There's nothing else we can do at that point.
Well, there's an occasion when your neighbor gets a little bit excited about doing some renovation and reworking their property. And there is a case where there is a dispute where an adjacent property owner started developing his property, and the man reported that there was a little too much action going on.
Yeah, you know, this is one of these interesting things that, you know, that is kind of a nuance here that the deputies do get called to these property disputes before. I should say they end up being a property dispute, but they get called in as a verbal dispute or an escalating dispute, or sometimes it turns into people throwing punches because they're arguing over a stick in the ground. And, you know, as you know, Tom, with all the weird property lines around here and property boundaries, sometimes we come across these things where at one time either they're platted wrong or, you know, when you get it resurveyed, it doesn't match the plat. And people literally argue over and fight over property lines. So this is one of those ones where we got there before it got to blows, thank God. And we're able to contact our county engineering department and find out that there were some surveying issues and that they were trying to work it out between these two. And so we just asked them if they could just cool it off for the moment and back away from the stake in the ground, not to use it like a vampire stake.
Yeah,
you know, but this is just one of those weird nuances here in Summit County that we come across more often than not with real estate being at a premium and development. There's the not in my backyard people, And there's people that, you know, have thought they've had property lines forever and turned out that it's really not their property.
And the development will continue.
And the development will continue until further notice.
Yeah, exactly. lost property issue. Theft and lost property. A woman staying at a short-term rental reported to deputies that she left a valuable family heirloom in the unit when she checked out, but then came back to pick it up. It was gone.
Yeah, so these are those calls. These are these calls where, I mean, you and I talked about, we come across often where people, I don't know why people take handguns on their vacation with families, but anyway, where people call and go, oh my God, I left a gun in this Airbnb I was in, and or the cleaners call and say, cleaning this Airbnb and I came across this gun. Well, this is one where someone called in and said that their $45,000 diamond ring was missing and they left it at the Airbnb. Now, you know, cops sometimes start thinking through, okay, is this fraud? Is this someone trying to make an insurance claim? You know, because we've had those too. And so naturally, you know, cops with our suspicious thinking start thinking about, when we do our questioning, start trying to kind of tease out, like, did someone really lose a $45,000 ring? Or, you know, is this some sort of scam? So this person was really upset, demanded to meet with a deputy and go back, and they called the Airbnb. They went back to the Airbnb, couldn't find it. The owners of the Airbnb called the cleaning company, and the deputy went out there and met the cleaner where they were to talk to them, to interview them like we would anyone that's suspect if you clean the apartment. And for whatever reason, you know, they between the deputy and the cleaner, they talked about how they cleaned this apartment, this Airbnb. It wasn't an apartment, it was a house. And they were talking about the, you know, they vacuumed everywhere. And the deputy said, oh, wait a minute, let's cut open the vacuum bag. And they got a knife out, literally cut open the vacuum bag, peeled it back, and there's the ring in the vacuum bag.
Wow.
Is that just the craziest thing?
Well, that's a happy ending.
That's a happy ending.
Absolutely.
And, wow. You know, and of course, to everyone's surprise, not only the deputy, but the cleaner, like, yeah. Oh my God, there really is a big diamond ring in the vacuum bag.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how that ended. She got her ring back. She was happy.
We love happy endings.
We love happy endings.
Seventh County Justice Files is what you're listening to. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, talking with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons here in the Summit County Justice Center. And once a week, we talk in the radio station on Crystal 93 at about 7:45 Thursday mornings. So you can join me and the sheriff for a couple of minutes of what's happening in the sheriff's department. Next item, a married couple in unincorporated Breckenridge were scared awake by a man crawling in the yard outside their bedroom window. That would scare just about anybody, I would think.
And as you can imagine, this involved intoxication.
Alcohol. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes you get these calls, you know, it's a bear, it's a moose, it's a not a person. And so deputies showed up to this one, and it was a guy crawled around in the backyard that was intoxicated. He was no longer at the house. I mean, we've had these incidents where we've talked about on the radio where here in Summit County, you know, you're liable to come across a homeowner with a gun. You know, if you're crawling around on their property in the dark of night. But this guy did crawl away, I assume. But deputies were able, you know, he claimed that he lost his cell phone. Sounds like a... Right. Did you really?
Yeah.
And how did you end up in my yard? He's probably relieving himself in the yard. Uh-huh. Phone dropped. But anyways, it turned out the deputies found this guy literally stumbling down the street. And it turned out it was a true story. The guy lost his phone. The deputies found the phone in the backyard, were able to reunite the intoxicated individual with his phone, and then gave him a ride home and turned him over to a sober individual that could take care of him the rest of the night.
Very good.
A sober friend.
Somebody who could let him sleep it off.
You know, some of these are, you know, you just can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, north of Silverthorne, a report of shots fired, and I'm sure that gets a lot of people's attention.
You know, yeah, so this was, we are in Summit County, right? Colorado.
Right.
The Old West. I mean, a lot of people have guns. This is north of Silverthorne, where, you know, north of Silverthorne here in Summit County is really ranch land with a beautiful river running through it. And people have guns on their ranches and shoot things. And there are some, you know, subdivisions up there with large properties, and prairie dogs are a problem. It turns out this guy was shooting prairie dogs from his balcony, because why come off the balcony if you can just shoot from the balcony? And, you know, he was shooting in a safe manner. Everything he was doing, believe it or not, here in Colorado was legal. And the deputies just had a chat with him about the noise was disturbing the neighbors. And the guy understood that and thought, you know what, maybe it's not a great idea that I stand out here on the balcony with a rifle and shoot prairie dogs. But total legal act, another just weird, nuanced thing that we come across of people just doing rodent control on their properties.
I guess what's the alternate method of shooting prairie dogs on your property? If you can't do it from your balcony, then...
If you can't do it from the comfort of your... Yeah. You know, I guess if you were in your living room in your Lazy Boy recliner and you had the sliding glass door open, I think that would be... pushing it a little.
Yeah.
But out there in the open, safely, knowing where you're aiming, no one in danger, good backstop. He seemed to be a good shot. I mean, there was dead prairie dogs. I mean, there was evidence that he was shooting prairie dogs.
And doing a good job of it.
And doing a good job. Maybe some of the neighbors might hire him. Because the ones you don't shoot end up going to your neighbors. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When you try to chase rodents out of your house.
Yeah, going to the neighbor's house. Be glad to help out the neighbors.
Oh, when you see the Orkin man at your neighbor's, it means that your house is about to be infested.
Well, there's a woman who reported harassment by her neighbor for the second time, who pulled up next to her using his vehicle to stop her and yelled at her for driving too fast for his liking.
Yeah, this is one of these things that, you know, Tom, there was a time when we had young kids. And, you know, people get really upset, especially with the way you see people drive today when they're driving through neighborhoods and they got kids playing. And, you know, we have seen where people put boulders in the road, where they put cones in the road, just obstacles to try to slow people down. Well, this is one of these ones where a neighbor got upset with his neighbor and had told her numerous times to slow down. And this time he thought he'd have a little chat with her at the window of her car. Luckily, when deputies got there and talked to both of them, no actual crime had occurred. And always, you know, it's interesting that, you know, when someone says, oh, the car must have been doing 50 miles an hour down the street, we get these complaints all the time about speeding. And so we have these speed radar trailers, we call Speedy, that can actually do a speed study in any place, and they'll record the average speed of cars. And every time we get a speeding complaint in a neighborhood and we set one of these up, we have yet to confirm that there's a speeding problem in this area. These cars are always just under the speed limit. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the anomaly of one car, you know what I mean? But there's pattern of these cars are all doing 80 miles an hour up the street.
Now, I would think you would see a pattern of at least, you know, consistently five or 10 over the posted speed limit.
Yeah, you would see this. And we'll set up in a neighborhood for a couple weeks, and then we'll print out a report and go meet with the complainant and go over the report. And until you actually show someone the report, they can't believe it either.
Wow.
And it's just how visually, when you're standing still and something's moving at you really fast, it looks fast. Faster than it is.
It's all about perception.
Oh, perception.
Another harassment issue, an evicted tenant upset over not getting his security deposit back. Hey, when you get evicted, it's probably a reason, and you can probably kiss that security deposit goodbye in most any case. But what happened in this one?
Yeah, it's interesting because this is one where there's a property manager and a property owner involved. And the property manager had managed to block the man's phone, you know, from calling the phone number.
Oh, yeah.
But because the property owner only had an old school landline, they couldn't block it. So the owner was getting all the calls. They ended up working this out amicably. You know, and then the property owner was told how to block numbers on their phone. But this is just one of these property disputes again, where, you know, people think, you know, it's the separation between, you know, civil and criminal. Was something really criminal, or is this a civil episode? In this case, there was no crime committed. I mean, the guy did screw over his property manager and landlord. But the blocking of the phone numbers was funny because the property manager thought it was resolved because he blocked the number and it was the property owner getting all the calls.
Had somebody who was very persistent.
Oh, my God.
Well, here's a roommate situation where a woman reported that her roommate had kicked a hole in the wall near her bedroom door. And guess what? There was alcohol involved.
Yeah, you know, one more time. This was a group of friends out at a local bar partying. And obviously this group of friends had a little too much to drink. And eventually somebody spilled a drink on somebody, which ended up in a fist going in someone's face. But of course, as usually happens in these drinking episodes, they all make friends in the moment. And they all walk home, and at least they walked home.
Oh, that's good.
Took the party home. But like we like to say at the sheriff's office, whatever starts in the town always ends in the county. So this started in a town where the assault occurred. They came home. The fight started back up again. And now one person puts their foot through the roommate's bedroom door.
Charges in this
one. Yeah, for all charges all around for everybody.
everybody, you get a charge. Everybody gets a charge.
So the person that punched the person got a charge, uh-huh. And the person that kicked the hole in the organ. You know, why not be equitable and fair and give, you know, everybody should suffer.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Equally.
Yeah, drugs and alcohol again.
There you go. Not a good thing can come out of it. Well, we've got some criminal investigation closed cases this section, starting out with a case of unlawful sexual contact in February of this year.
Yeah, this happened in February of this year. You know, this victim explained that she would get offered money for sexual intercourse, which she refused, and then the suspect would offer her money to keep his secret. So this woman was being repeatedly assaulted, and we were eventually able to successfully identify and locate this guy and get a warrant for his arrest, and the guy was arrested just a couple weeks ago. So it's great when we can make these arrests, and these especially in these sexual assault cases, and these brave women and men that come forward to report these. It's always great when we can eventually find out who did it and arrest them. It'll even be greater if we can prosecute it. Yeah. Well, we don't prosecute it, but if it gets prosecuted.
Another closed case, a warrant arrest from April of this year. Deputies were alerted by an off-duty deputy that a couple of suspects with felony warrants were hanging out at a bar or restaurant.
Yeah, we talked about this on the podcast. This was at a local bar where an off-duty deputy walked in and noticed two people drinking at the bar that we happened to be looking for. And they coordinated this whole arrest safely scenario by phone, kind of just sitting there off-duty, just talking on the phone to the on-duty deputies outside. And this pair walked out, and as they were confronted by the deputies, split up and tried to run. We caught one got away. We have subsequently now found the other one that got away. So it's a good case. It's a great case.
Another closed case, an issue of mail theft. June of last year, a lengthy investigation was conducted in reference to thefts and fraud related to mail theft. And this one is a closed case from Copper Mountain.
Yeah, if you remember, Tom, in the summer, we were having quite a spree where packages were being stolen somewhere between Dillon and Copper Mountain. And it was a huge case that our detectives worked on. Many packages were stolen. We were able to find out that it was happening through a contractor that was moving packages between the two different post offices. And we gave it to the feds. And like with most things with the feds, they're only interested for a minute. But our detectives were really dogged in this and kept at it. And when the feds turned it down for prosecution, our detectives picked it back up and were able to successfully identify and get warrants for these suspects. Not that we'll ever get the packages back, but we were able to break up the ring and able to stop these package thefts. I mean, it was going on for quite a while.
Was this a widespread ring or just local?
No, it turned out to be widespread. So it was happening from Denver all the way, I think, to Grand Junction.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so there was a lot of packages being stolen at the time, but great case by our detectives.
Congratulations on that
great
one.
Case.
Yeah. Protection order violation. What's this one about from May of this year.
Yeah, this is another one we had talked about. These are just kind of follow-ups with our detectives. This is one, if you remember, where a father and son got into an argument in a parking lot of an apartment building here. Mother called the deputies, called police, because she thought there was a protection order in place prohibiting, you know, this ex-husband from being there. And it had turned into an assault in the parking lot with the adult son and father. So there wasn't child abuse. But by the time the deputies got there, this guy had taken off. So when our detectives got the case and looked into it, of course, you know, assault charges, the family didn't want to press any charges. But as often turns out, you know, we really have to dig into these protection orders. And it turns out that the protection order did not prohibit him from being there. So there was no crime. It's just interesting that, you know, these protection orders, we come across violations of protection orders all the time. And so often we've got to be so careful about making sure we contact the courts, making sure, because someone will go, here's a piece of paper, here's the protection order, and you don't know, you have no idea where they could have got it off the internet for all you know. And so it's difficult sometimes in the moment for deputies to research this. If the courts are open, it's really easy. If the courts aren't open, sometimes it's got to wait until our detectives can contact the courts and find out what's going on.
And this one was not a violation.
It turned out it wasn't a violation. I mean, the assault obviously was, but the son didn't want to press any charges against his dad.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Hey, and just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, it never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
You can also read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. As always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.